are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Have you ever watched a show about, like, a horse and expected to laugh a lot, and then it comes to an end, and you're crying a lot? Has that ever happened to you?
Oh, that's pretty good, actually. You did pretty good at your Paul impersonation.
Yeah, bitch.
He does not say, well, granted, I didn't see every episode this last episode.
I don't remember him.
Todd is a sweet character. He has never used the B word.
Yeah, I'm like, I can't actually think of a time where he actually said something like that.
I think he did say the F word at one point, but...
He might have did he? Said it in prison.
Yeah, I think he literally just tells BoJack, fuck you.
Everybody, we are talking about the final 8 episodes of BoJack Horseman. We did the part 1 review, which I was not a part of because I've only watched so much of this show. Lexi here is the humongous fan, as you guys heard from that review.
Yeah. Seen all of it, so, and of course, I actually kind of had the rush watching the last bit, though. I just finished it all today, so.
We kind of put it off to the last minute of this one.
We've been busy, been getting job interviews, trying to do a lot of actual, you know, adulting, sadly, so.
Yeah. Much like BoJack, we're trying to get on with our lives, you know, get a stable career. But, yeah, I saw enough to talk a little bit about it, but I'm mostly here to moderate because we got quite a group here. So, like we said, we got Lexi here.
Hello.
We got Nathan.
It's always nice to be included in a sentence someone says. Well, hi, everybody.
We also got Doggett over here.
Doggett!
Hey, and Bradley.
Hello.
Hey, guys. Yeah. My horse is a little horse right now. Horse. Ha!
What?
I was going to say it's too horse to play BoJack, but I'm like, I got the pun.
You're just horsing around, I see.
No!
Take a drink.
It's not making me laugh so much. You can give me a Charlie horse.
There's going to be a lot of animal puns. Almost as much as they're in the show.
There are so many animal puns.
Take a drink every time there's an animal pun, and then take some pills every time they mention Sarah Lynn.
Well, not only that, then like there's the animal puns, but there's also all those like sight gags that are animals. Like, I think one of the ones that made me crack up the hardest here was there was that cat lady stuck in the tree, and she's like, "I'm sorry, I know this keeps happening." As the firemen come to get her, I'm just like,
"I love the possum one where you're like they're you know taking them into the hospital and just he's like that like scares the paramedics." I'm like, "Oh my gosh!"
I think my single favorite sight gag that I saw was okay. So I was catching up on this show because I was 2 seasons behind, and in season 5 there's a moment where they just go to like some garage sale or something, somebody's picking up some shirt to check it out, and it had some writing on it, and it just zoomed by really fast, and I was like, alright, I need to pause this, and it just said, stop pausing and enjoy the show on the shirt. I was like, fuck.
But there's so many moments where they make you like pause to read what's happening on it, even in this season. That's great. Well, you know what, Nathan? Why don't you set us up here? Where did we leave off from the previous half of this season?
From the previous half of this season, a reporter starts to figure out the circumstances of Sarah Lynn's death. And Hollyhock, BoJack Horseman's sister, who he thought was his daughter, if you remember that whole plot line, starts to hear a very awful story about what happened between BoJack and a teenage girl. And that's pretty much where it led in. Outside of that, maybe I might be wrong in this. Didn't BoJack become completely sober or go to... You know, yeah.
Yeah, so
he's sober now.
Yeah, he went to rehab, and then he's starting that job in Connecticut as a teacher at the university.
Yeah,
last season was the rehab season. Sorry, I've watched these all in a vacuum.
No, it's the same season.
Well, I mean, it's the first part of said season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's where we are right now. And, you know, again, I can only comment so much because I only saw, I think I saw about 3/4 of the episodes with you or something like that.
Probably. I've shown you, like, some of, like, the best episodes. And then you saw, like, probably this season with me, most of the seasons. So.
Yeah. Did you show him the underwater one?
I think I need to show you that one. That's a really good one, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's, like, the best
just
one.
Just watch the entire show, Justin.
You know, I'm going to say this, that now that I've watched this final season, I might just, because...
Except for, like, the first, like, 2 or 3 episodes. They're fine.
Yeah, yeah, but
just,
still, I mean...
This episode has the best joke of the show.
What is it?
It's when he's laying in bed, and he's like, we need you to make sure you don't stress yourself out. And Mr. Princess Carazine's like, he's a fucking lazy bastard, he doesn't do anything. And Bojack's like, I will try, doctor. And what's it called? Wait a minute, do I gotta do stuff for myself? So I gotta answer the phone? And then he has another heart attack.
That was pretty good, to be fair.
Yeah.
I think my favorite joke of the season happened last season where they had the, or not of the season, sorry, of the show. Last season, the episode before, one of my favorite, if not my favorite episodes, A Free Chiro. There are a couple people talking about how television is such a visual medium, and I can't believe they wasted on so much dialogue, and then it leads to a 25-minute monologue being an entire episode.
Well, that's actually pretty true to form to the writing of almost all these episodes, because while there are a lot of great visual moments, what I do love about BoJack is that it's a very dialogue-driven and character-driven show. I mean, honestly, the final episode, which we'll get into probably in a slightly spoilery section near the end, is mostly like 3 long conversation scenes for the majority of the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bradley, how did you not get a job on the show? It's like, this is a voice actor show. Like, you cannot be lazy on the show. Like, if you're a voice actor here, you have to bring it.
No, I don't have the time.
There was always
going to be more time later.
What would Brad's animal avatar be if he was in BoJack?
A raccoon.
Wow.
I was thinking a bear. I don't know.
Like a papa bear. There we go. Yeah.
What if Bradley was a raccoon and he would stare outside at humans picking out the garbage and Bradley's like, ugh, those humans. I guess I kind of want to be a human too.
I could see you as a koala bear.
I'd be like T-Panda, but I'd be a raccoon, and people would be like, is your first name Trash? And then I'd say, excuse me? Really? Oh, wow. Wow. And then I'd just
it'd be like, Travis
off.
Panda.
This is the shit. My name
like
is Ash.
Yeah, Travis Panda.
Yeah. But, you know, it's interesting. We're talking a lot about the show overall, because, I mean, yeah, obviously, what we feel about this final season will definitely reflect upon our entire thoughts of the whole show. And again, I can't say much on this, but who wants to go first? Is just saying something they liked about this second half of the season.
The chickens have come home to roost, and I'm surprised we didn't get a visual joke of that.
I'm sure there was. It might have just flown by somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
It's that thing where you guys are all rooting for the reporter, right?
In a lot of ways, yes.
I was.
She was a dynamic character. I was into her.
Me too.
She's such
a
weird character, though, with the whole, like, what did she get? Kind of weird, like, British, New English kind of accent.
That's the cool thing. It's like every character on the show is kind of full of shit. And even, like, that cool character is like, she's like faking an accent the entire time.
Yeah, she's a Southern dude.
I love when they call her out on it.
Yeah, that was great. It's like, you're from Fresno.
Nobody in our family talks like this.
Yeah. No, but there is a great sense of reckoning that happens throughout this entire season for BoJack. Like, obviously, certain things couldn't be addressed in their fullness because there's only so much time to address it all. But I think that on the whole, they covered a lot of the most important stuff that needed to be addressed with BoJack's development. Would you say so, honey?
Yeah, I agree, honestly. Like, I was not unhappy with the ending. Like, I mean, I don't know how everybody else felt, but I felt like it was a pretty satisfying ending overall and a pretty satisfying, like, I mean, second half of, like, the last season, pretty much. Like, I felt like all the stories kind of went naturally where they should have, because, like, I feel like sometimes you get some shows where they're just like, it's like everything's going like really well in the show, and then you get like the last like few episodes, Game of Thrones, where like everything just kind of like goes to like crap, kind of, or like they try to subvert expectations, or like they do all these weird things, and you're just like, well, that ending practically ruined the show for me. But that didn't happen in BoJack, thankfully. I was like, okay, that feels like the natural conclusion to, like, you know, to this guy's story and everybody else's stories as well. And I felt pretty satisfied with everybody else's, like, stories as well, not just his. So,
well, it's good that in the show, unlike Breaking Bad, it doesn't end with "and this main character ruined everybody's lives."
I was really glad I didn't go that route, honestly.
Yeah, like they kind of had their cake and eat it too, where it's like, yeah, BoJack had to be punished, but only punishing him would not really benefit any of the themes of the show.
And he obviously, like, I mean, there's consequences, as you'll see in the season, for his previous actions, which is good because, you know, some of the stuff he did do in previous seasons was pretty, not great. And, yeah.
That's one of the best parts of this part of the season where they list all the shit BoJack's done.
Oh my God.
The rest of the episode, they keep adding to it.
Yeah.
I love when they start talking about stuff that, like, you haven't seen on on screen. I can't even remember. There were so many on there.
I'm trying to think of what
the giant whiteboard thing.
Yeah, like, yeah. That's a whiteboard, Todd, and they're just, like, lifting all of it.
Everybody and writes shit down, like, sleeps with my girlfriend, destroyed my rock opera.
That was one of my favorites on there, but that wasn't something that he did off screen.
Yeah.
I think what I really admired about this show is that, as a whole, but especially this season, it was not one of those shows where you felt like they had it all written ahead of time and they just followed their plan. They definitely evolved over time with how people felt about the show, the climate in Hollywood right now. And I really appreciated that because it led into a pretty great ending for the rest of the show and for BoJack's character.
Yeah, because I think they planned it to be like another season or two, but I think ending it right here was the right decision.
Well, yeah, as I said, this felt like a pretty natural conclusion for the show, honestly. Because I can't imagine it could have gone, like, on a lot longer in a lot of ways, because, like,
just... I can't do another season of BoJack fucking up. I can't.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt, too. I'm just like,
they even teased it in the last episode. It was like, ooh, I sure hope I don't fuck up.
Yeah, because it's like, yeah, that's how I feel. Like, I feel like there had to be a point where it was like, okay, we gotta, you know, just kind of lay it all out and see what the consequences ultimately, you know.
Yeah, but to your point, Nathan, I think that the freeform element of responding to fan feedback and responding to certain current trends gives it both, it's like, how'd you say, it's a very relevant in the way that it talks about things, but it gives a very clever subversion of certain tropes that they even call out directly in certain parts of the show. Just like, well, this is the part where I expected this to happen, and it didn't.
Well, I think, I agree. I think it really helps it because when I think back, like, on the first season, I remember that, like, a lot of people felt very mixed on the first season because a lot of people felt that the first half was, you know, it was still finding its footing, and then, like, it improved over time, and that's kind of how I felt. Is I feel like it kept getting better at each season, and as you said as well, like, with it being kind of so freeform, I liked all the commentary with, like, even just, like, subtle, like, gags and, like, just throwaway lines almost, or just, you're just like, that's, like, actually really funny or insightful sometimes when you, like, actually go back and, like, listen to it. You're like, oh, that's actually, like, really clever or kind of deep, or even just super humorous, making fun of, like, the current trends or...
And pretty much pointing out how full of crap Hollywood is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I especially like that. I think what I've always found to be the thing about the show is its comedy is... It's not one of the funniest shows on TV, obviously.
No.
Not to belittle it, because it is very funny at times, but when it handles drama or the human condition, it fucking is unlike any show you've ever seen before.
Yeah, I would say that it's way more heavy and philosophical than it is funny, which is to say it's still funny, but the heavier moments hit harder, I think.
I think it balances.
I can't wait for all the YouTube character studies on BoJack.
They're already starting. Seriously, I've seen like five already.
Oh boy.
It's like little things you kind of start to piece together by yourself. It's like, why can't BoJack love anybody? Oh, because he fucked over his first love, Herb, very quickly.
Yeah. Well, because also, I've seen a lot of people trying to nitpick certain elements about that kind of stuff, and I can't talk too much without, you know, before we go into the more spoilery details, but there's certain thematic points where I'm like, I get why they didn't hammer that point even harder, but it's because that wasn't the focus of this ending, you know? Like, they were trying to narrow down to the most important details, and everything else kind of surrounds and orbits it, kind of thing. But, you know,
hey, Bradley, what was your favorite part of the season?
I was gonna say, Brad, your turn.
I enjoyed a lot of this season. I enjoyed BoJack whenever he has a little taste of normalcy and routine and stability in his life. everyone around him just cringes when he says, like, yeah, it was a really good play. You know, I should probably write plays. I could write a play on Broadway. Then I could get back into TV, and then I could be in a movie. And to see Princess Carolyn and Todd be like, dude, come on. That's your path to destruction every time. And I like how they love him, and they can't tell him that because they already have and failed. And it really kind of hits home the issue for anybody that has that kind of problem. This struggle is going to be every day of your life, not just, you know, once a week or twice a year. And like you said, Nathan, the human condition, analyzing that kind of behavior, why it's bad, how to get over it, and how to stay over it has been absolutely fantastic.
And I gotta say, this is, I mean, people have been saying this for a while now, and it's only more true through each season. This is the best performance Will Arnett has ever put in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, it asks so much for him. Which you think, like, Will Arnett's not a dynamic actor, per se, but if you know what he can do, you can do a lot with him, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, can he's you play a dick? Yes.
No. What kind of dick? It's not specific enough to be just a dick. You gotta be a certain type of dick.
Can you be a horse dick? Ooh, a giant dick? Yes, sir.
I definitely can, sir. Thank you.
He's able to put so much humanity, despite, you know, being a dick in a lot of things. Like, I think, I'm not sure if you guys saw Arrested Development till the end, but I have my mixed feelings about the Netflix seasons, but I always thought he was stellar because he made Job even more human than he was beforehand.
Yeah,
and the work that he did there was fantastic.
He's clearly learned a lot. Yeah.
Well, he was easily the best part of even the Netflix seasons, because I saw the fourth season and then only a couple episodes of the fifth season, and he was still always, like, in my opinion, kind of one of the best parts to, like, a week... for, like, weak writing, honestly, in my opinion, for those seasons, but that was, yeah.
Yeah, but if you give him something good to work with, he seems to be dedicated to make the most of the material.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, also talking about some of the side characters you mentioned there that I, you know, from the stuff I've seen, again, I can only judge the season for what I have seen, but I really liked what they did with Princess Caroline in this. Yeah. I thought, like, the way that they led her to her ending was absolutely perfect for what they needed to do with her.
Yeah.
It made the most sense.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, I like how much her ending arc was about appreciating herself.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she deserves so much because she does all this hard work for everybody else. And for once, she gets to, you know, do something that's for her, you know, that's going to make her happy in the long run.
Yeah,
you know?
Especially after some of those really dark episodes where she felt like she would never fully be loved in the earlier seasons.
Yeah, and I'm just like, oh, please.
But when you look back to those earlier seasons, you realize she had love all along.
Yeah. She just had to realize it, you know, kind of like a lot of us, I think, you know.
I will say, I really like where they went with Mr. Peanut Butter. They didn't do a lot with his character, but making him consistently positive throughout the entire show, really, towards the finale, seeing him almost made me tear up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's the sad realization for BoJack that Mr. Peanut Butter is, in fact, his best friend.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think it's a sad realization.
Well, for him, it is.
For BoJack.
Even when he says, like, you want to have dinner, he doesn't say, like, a friend. He says, so, do you want to get something to eat?
Like, that's literally the only person he can ask, pretty much, at this point.
The brilliant thing about Mr. Peanut Butter is he's a beacon of unconditional love and loyalty to anybody he's talking to in any given moment. A good dog, yeah. Sad dog is rad dog. But to actually analyze, what would a person like that be, and how could they improve themselves? And that they come up with a clever way that someone with an unconditional love and loyalty obsession to self-analyze and improve their etiquette and behavior is pretty awesome. I think that's a brilliant in-joke they did there.
And I also really liked what they did with Diane this season, because she's always been one of those characters where she's never been, like, my favorite, but, like, and I've had some issues of her writing in the past, but I feel like what they did of her was, I don't know, I really enjoyed it, and in a lot of ways I could relate to her. Out of, like, all the characters in the show, I feel like I personally relate to her best, because, like, you know, she deals with, like, you know, the depression and stuff, and I really like that they tackled, like, the topic of, like, you know, what's the reality of, like, dealing with, like, a mental illness. Like, you know, they have the subplot with her, you know, taking medication and stuff, and I think they dealt with that pretty well, and
like, you know, all the stuff with the weight gain and the writing problems.
I
need to ask you, Lexi, what was going on with her antidepressants being like a Mentos commercial?
I don't know. I think it's kind of like you see, like, because like you get these like commercials like on TV where it's like they're advertising like these all these sorts of medications, and I've seen it before where you get these like happy commercials for like these antidepressants, and like the reality of it's like not always that, obviously. Like I loved how like there was like one scene I especially related to in this season where she, you know, she's like gained all the weight and stuff, and she's like trying on clothes, and she's like in a dressing room just like and I'm just like, I was literally that way the just the other day, actually, just trying on new clothes, and I'm like, ah.
We all relate to Diane, I think, in some way or another.
I agree.
I mean, do we not all have our own mall mystery novel in our head?
Well, but you know, I think you were kind of, we mentioned it, well, I mean, you guys mentioned it in the last review, where you felt like Diane was a little much the first half of the season.
I feel like, I kind of agree. Like, I think the last season, you know, as I mentioned, I sometimes had issues of her writing, but I feel like she improved a lot.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, and that was kind of, like, satisfying to see that she is, like, trying to better herself, you know?
They're trying to grind a path to normalcy for her.
Kind of.
Or something, at least, if not normalcy, at least something that is overall for the better good.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people can relate to, like, dealing with, you know, depression and things like that, and having to, you know, kind of be like, oh, I guess I gotta, you know, take medication or do therapy or do something. And it's not exactly an easy road. You know, I think the commercial thing was kind of satirizing that a little bit. Like, you know, a lot of people think it's, you know, taking this medication is going to make everything A-okay suddenly, but that's not the reality of it. It's a, you know, you can't go off the medications right away, for instance, because you get withdrawals or stuff like that. You know, you gain weight sometimes.
You move to Houston. Ew.
Yeah.
Well, meanwhile, I do feel like one thing I mean, the stuff I've seen I liked with it, but Todd, I feel like, didn't really get, like, he got closure, but it wasn't really strong character growth. It was just like they kind of finished Todd's story.
Oh, no, Todd had his conclusion, like, two or three seasons ago where he pretty much told BoJack to go fuck himself.
He tells BoJack, you are all the problems that are wrong with you, and no one's going to fix that. You have to do that yourself. And I think that was Todd's closure.
He only had to deal with one other thing, really, to, like, really be complete.
Well, yeah. I was honestly just about to bring that up when we got off the subject of Diane, who I do feel like got better as the season went on. But Todd's plot line has kind of gotten flanderdized to some extent. I mean, I think towards the last two seasons, I really enjoyed his whole, hey, you are all the things that are wrong with you, BoJack. I should have done that.
That was a great performance by Aaron Paul. Sorry to
interrupt. Oh, yeah. And I really enjoyed him coming out as being asexual until it got turned into, like, a huge joke for one season. Which I, you know, at times it was funny. At times it just kind of just felt like a little much. More as just, like, an excuse to put Todd in an episode to pad out time.
Yeah.
And I think he had some things that were interesting this season, but as a whole, it was kind of a waste of Aaron Paul until a speech that he has in the final episode involving the Hokey Pokey.
Yeah. Oh, you took my... That was going to be my rating for the final thing, but yes, the existential talks of Hokey Pokey was definitely one of my favorite bits from the episodes I saw.
And you turn yourself around.
That's what it's all about, not the Hokey Pokey.
It honestly... It touched me. I was like,
are you really smart or really stupid? I don't know.
Well, the best part of the season is Todd standing on BoJack's shoulders, and BoJack's like, so why are we like this? Like, I need a better view.
Well, you know, and I will say, too, that, again, just like most of the other seasons, I'm always amazed at the cavalcade of cameos they have in this show and supporting parts, because, my goodness, if you just look at the season 6 Wikipedia page of voice actors, there's, like, 40 other actors who all, like, not just minor character actors, but, like, big name Oscar winners and other stuff who just come in for a role, you know?
Oh, yeah. I fucking always have loved their voice cast when it isn't just Patton Oswalt doing things all the time.
Which he does show up a couple times. In the
which I love. I can't believe Angelica Houston was in it, even though I hated her
great.
Character.
She?
She was great, but I hated her.
She was the producer. The,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay. I remember that voice.
And then, oh my gosh. I mean, J.K. Simmons is always great and has been in the show consistently. Tim Meadows was great. Samantha Bee, I always like showing up as an actual bee.
That was crazy. I'm just like, okay. But one person who I really liked, Lin-Manuel Miranda showed up in the last the second to last episode too, where I'm like, oh, that was him?
Kind of yeah, thing. Yeah, he was in previous seasons as well, I think, right?
Yeah. But yeah, he was great, and you always gotta appreciate any time that esteemed character actress Margot Martindale shows up.
Oh yeah.
Did you guys like her character arc?
Yes.
She's from season one on. She was a recurring character.
It's a crazy parody of herself, but that's why it's kind of awesome.
Bojack, I've only been out of prison for 5 minutes. What kept you?
I liked Bobby Cannavale showing up because I could not tell that was him.
Yeah, that's what I love is that a lot of these actors do just enough to disguise themselves in the roles. Because he was the guy who's the other producer who was helping make the movie.
Oh, okay.
Vance Wagner.
Who voices Jonah?
Oh, that's the guy from Office Space, the neighbor next door.
Oh, wait. Jonah or Judah?
Milton.
Judah.
Oh, Judah. That's Diedrich Bader.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
He's an amazing voice actor.
Yeah, I always love him. Diedrich Bader. Yeah,
he is such a great, like, supporting player character where just anytime he shows up, you're like, oh, I like this guy. He's cool.
Well, I mean, he's such a great voice actor because he has that strong voice. He's easily one of my favorite Batman voice actors.
If you put him and Will Arnett next to each other, it's hard to distinguish which one's which at first.
There's a season when his character goes away. And I remember at the time thinking, oh, I really hope he comes back. He's so funny.
He's so lovable, too.
Yeah. I'm very concise with the words I choose. I thought you were aware of that.
Now, Judah, it's not time for one of your famous Judah tantrums.
And I loved his song at the end, too. Just how romantic and yet super direct, like Judah talks kind of thing is. You know, just...
Yeah, that was so
also
good.
Like Zach Braff's cameo.
Oh, that was crazy.
Oh, yeah. That word vomit he was given to say towards the end. Zach Braff's, oh my god.
Zach Braff's Zach Snacks and Zach Braff's Zach's Pass was...
tongue twister, the ultimate tongue twister.
I will say, as much as we can talk about the finale, we gotta talk about the penultimate episode, which I think is damn near a masterpiece that I will never watch again because it was so fucking depressing.
Well, that was written by Alison Taffel and directed by Amy Winfrey. And I believe Alison also wrote Stupid Piece of Shit. And that, I remember, was the talk of the town in that season as well.
Yeah, she's written a few other episodes.
We need to do mushrooms and watch that episode together.
Yeah, no, she's written a few episodes throughout the show. So
just regular mushrooms. Just a handful of portable.
Also, I'm down, but...
No. So fucking dark. That was a dark fucking episode.
Oh, yeah. Are we going to chase that down with cats and climax?
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. Yeah, no, there's...
The title
episode?
Well,
I was just saying that the pin up...
No,
episode,
we're talking about the view from halfway down.
Oh, Bojack. Yeah. There is no other side.
Is that Stanley Tucci, I want to say?
Yeah, Stanley Tucci plays Herb.
That's right, Stanley Tucci.
Yeah,
such a great one. Just all the subtle,
greatest hits.
Some things are very subtle in the way how they do it, but all the mentions of all of their deaths and just all the tiny little details, like the rations that Cracker Jack eats, and Bojack constantly making those faces whenever he drinks his water, which is, you know, the pool water.
Yeah, pretty gross, yeah.
I don't know. Are we going into spoiler talk? We probably should.
Yeah, well, why don't we do one big rating thing, and then we'll talk. Like, we can do either, like, I mean, the way I was thinking it, we can do a season rating and a series rating, and then talk about those major spoiler parts kind of thing.
Okay, that's fair.
So, you know, I'll just go first just to give a impression of the things I saw. Like, I can't give a full rating, but it has really convinced me that I should go back and watch the rest of the show. Like, I'm amazed at how philosophically deep this show can get, even with all the goofy, wacky comedy throughout it. It's just, it's really a great show for writers. Like, even without, you know, without the gimmick of animation, just listening to the actors read this dialogue to each other and all the scene structure of it, it's darn near flawless with the way that they talk, do the writing and that kind of stuff. And the show episodes I liked a lot were great. So I'm not going to give much of a rating, but I will say, if I had to give a something out of something, it's a score out of, you know, let's just say like an arbitrary, like an 8 out of 10 great Stephen Sondheim jokes. Yeah, Brad, I'm glad you pointed that one out, because I was looking for it the entire time. When it happened, I'm just like, oh, that was so worth it.
Yeah.
Judas. Well, who wants to go first for so full ratings? So
I can go.
Okay, go ahead, Lexi. Yeah.
All right. I think overall, I really enjoyed this. It was a pretty strong half season, I guess. I keep on, it's kind of weird because of the way it's broken up, but it was a really good like half season. And I think overall, it was a really satisfying end to an overall really good show. I am gonna miss, you know, that's not that there's not gonna be any more seasons on the one hand, but at the same time, I know they can't keep going on. Just, you know, by the nature of what the story is.
They got to focus on Undone now, come on.
True, that's also a really good show. But, you know, I was satisfied to see everybody's story arcs come to, like, a really good close. And, yeah, all the philosophical stuff, and it's, like, really good. I think one thing I like is it never gives you, like, any straight answers, never direct answers. It kind of, it, like, proposes the questions, it discusses them, but it doesn't really say, like, is this, like, the best way to go about things, or is this the best way to, you know, there's not really always a right answer to that sort of thing, because life can be difficult, you know, and some challenges out there, especially, like, addiction, as it covers in the show, and mental illness, and all that sort of stuff, it can be, you know, really difficult to navigate it, but sometimes you're always gonna have to, you know, have a good group of friends with you, you know, and a, you know, happy lab dog, you know, to always be optimistic in your life, you know, just kind of got to keep going, basically. I kind of like that. I feel like that was kind of a good general message from the show. It's like, you just got to keep going, you know, keep trying. It's not going to be perfect. There's going to be a lot of bumps in the road, but, you know, there's not always the right answer sometimes, but, you know. And overall, I think my rating for this would probably be 8 out of 10 broken potted plants.
It's funny because think of a Mr. Peanut Butter. We have a lab here in Idaho. You know, my family's dog as such. I just imagine my dog Gus being
Mr. Peanut Butter. He is Mr. Peanut Butter. Oh, my goodness.
He's always there all the time.
He's so sweet.
You know, Bradley, why don't you go ahead?
Well, I love this show. I actually watch it all the time. I'm just going to say my favorite peanut butter joke and then give the rating because it's an animal joke. The animal puns are so funny. Cameron Crowe's a raven, for example. That's so cool. Mr. Peanut Butter. He has this cone on, and Bojack's like, what happened to you? He's like, oh, I hurt myself punching a mirror. I thought it was another dog. He was wearing my clothes. I was so mad at him. So, yeah, I love that joke. And I also like that this show really pushes the envelope to a place that no other show is going to when it comes to relationships. Even though the asexual thing didn't work out completely, you know, there's a lot of growing pains when doing new comedy. But I like that Hollyhock has 7 dads and a polyamorous homosexual relationship. So her full name is Hollyhock Mannheim, Mannheim Guerrero Robinson Zilberger Schlagsong Fonzarelli McQuack. And it's just so funny. And I'm kind of bummed she didn't really get any closure, but not really any other way to do that. Princess Carolyn, easily my favorite character. She has a lot of good moments with Ben Schwartz through the whole show, who plays... I think his last name's Rabidowitz. I don't remember his first name.
Oh, yeah. Rutabaga Rabidowitz.
Yeah, Rutabaga Rabidowitz.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, really love the show. I'll probably watch it a couple more times throughout my life. Season 1 to the end. And I'm going to give this 10... No, not 10. 8 pieces of honeydew in 10 fruit trays.
Daggett.
Well, guys... I fucking love this show so much. This is the first Netflix show I loved, and it has never disappointed me. This is... But the second season, when it came out at like 1 a.m., and I was like, I guess I'll watch the first episode. I stayed up all night and finished that season in one sitting. The celebrity cameos that we get, the dialogue in the show has always been dynamic. Even if it's just Princess Caroline talking, it's always great. You love all these characters. Yes, Todd's, you know, they probably could have done more with him these last two seasons, but there's a little bit of Todd's a helper. If he's not helping BoJack, he spent like the last three seasons helping Princess Caroline.
Yeah.
And also, it's kind of, I don't know about you guys, I actually follow the BoJack Horseman Facebook page, and you get a lot of story you don't get in the show, like BoJack going to the Super Bowl to Hollyhock's house with all the dads.
Oh, that's cool.
But what's it called? The show, for this season, for this part of the season, I'm going to give it a better than sex. And I guess...
We're not using double toasted scores here. Come on.
Oh my god, that slipped out by accident. I am so sorry.
Copyright!
Just sex by accident. Anyways. That was awful.
Don't worry.
But anyways, so this season, 10 out of 10, without a doubt. I will rewatch this all the time. I will marathon the ninth episode of every season. And that being said, this series, better than sex. What's it called? I think BoJack Horseman and Breaking Bad has taught me that you don't need a great ending. You need a satisfying ending.
Yeah,
and
I would say
everybody's going to leave happy.
I would still say this is a pretty good ending, but it's satisfying first and foremost, more than anything.
They didn't feel the need to make anything dynamic. It's all about these characters and what they're going through. And by God, there's a lot of people who quit the show because it got too dark for them. And I'm happy to say it does not end dark.
Yeah,
I think maybe. What I like about the show is with each season, you could honestly quit at any point and just call that the season finale, and it'd be perfect. Except for season one, maybe. But season four
has the second best ending.
Yeah, season four is my favorite one.
Is that the one with all the horses running?
No, that's the one where Hollyhock finds out that he's not her father, but she's like, but you know, I have a lot of dads. I don't have a big brother.
Aww.
Oh, yeah, that's a sweet
that's
ending.
That's sweet. I love that.
Yeah, you can literally, at any point, like, even... If you want to be super dark, you could see episode 15 as being the ending.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Penultimate.
What's your rating, Nathan?
Oh, I didn't go into my final thoughts. I thought you were going to give your 9.
I thought you were already going into your final thoughts. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, guys.
I gave this a 10 out of 10.
As a whole, I think this show is absolutely fantastic. I may have not have always loved all the comedy beats, but all the drama worked for me a lot. I think this is the best performance Will Arnett has ever put in. I think that the writers... I haven't watched any of Undone. I'm sure it's fantastic just because it's BoJack Horseman is pretty fantastic as a whole. I think this season, it reminded me a lot of Mad Men's final season in a lot of ways. I like how it wasn't a show about redemption by the end of it, but it's a show about depression and loneliness and understanding that you don't need to let it consume you, but it never forgives BoJack for any of his sins, which I really enjoyed about it. I would give the series a 9 out of 10. I would give this season an 8 out of 10 crossover episodes. Because I'm only giving it an 8 out of 10 because I felt like some characters got a little lost in the shuffle. But the characters that they gave great endings to, they gave fantastic endings to.
Yeah. That's fair enough. So why don't we talk about these spoilers? I mean, just, you know, we won't go too long into depth in these, but, you know, you say, like, having BoJack confront his sins and all that kind of stuff, and that does actually, like, punish him and that kind of stuff. Again, I'm glad the fact that it ended without him actually dying. You know, like that, they teased it. Episode 7, like you said, the 7th episode, the second part. If you want that to be the ending, it's a pretty freaking dark ending.
Yeah, I'm
The thing is, that's too easy. That'd be.
I agree.
That's how I felt.
That's BoJack getting off too easy.
Ooh, that's a dark joke. How the media quickly exploited that family and made them famous from what happened in their house.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
What is it? Bojesus boy or? gets a deal with Gersh now.
the Bojeebus out of me.
Bojeebus, like,
Bojeebus kid,
yeah. Something like that. The Bojeebus out of me.
We all know the big spoilery thing to talk about this season: Princess Caroline and Judah.
Yes. Oh, that was so sweet.
I was so happy. I was like, yes.
She goes to his bed night, and then she finds out he left that to go to work with her. It brings a tear to your eye.
Well, yeah. what made, and I did, I cry a lot when I watch things, and this season made me cry a lot. But what really brought on the waterworks was that song he sang to her.
Yes.
Because I remember in a previous episode before, you hear this story about Princess Carolyn's granddaughter, and the episode ends with Princess Carolyn saying, "Whenever I feel upset, I like to imagine I have a granddaughter because it makes me feel better, even though I don't have one and probably won't ever have one, you know?" So it was a gut punch of an episode. Yeah. And everything coming together for her with having Ruthie and having Jonah finally, you know, express his feelings. Judah. So heartwarming. My favorite ending by far.
Oh, yeah. I mean, gosh dang, who wouldn't want a Judah in their life, you know, seriously?
Oh, I think I found mine.
Who wouldn't want a Todd in their life? That hokey pokey. When he says, like, what if I relapse? And he's like, then you get sober again. And then you keep trying. And I'm, that really got to me. And then that shot of the their footsteps further apart, and then the sand, the wave washing it away.
Or Todd going to BoJack, being like, "Hey, you want to go outside?" And BoJack's like, "Yeah." And they go outside, like, "So what do you want to talk about?" I was like, "Oh no, you just seem like you're stressed the fuck out. So you know, let's just chill here." And before that, he had kicked him out of a party. He's like, "Dude, don't make me kick you out."
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. And also, I mean, that whole wedding thing where BoJack and Princess Carolyn talk while they dance.
That was so sweet, yeah. Like,
that's the thing where they do that thing where they set you up for something to happen in the episode, and then it doesn't, and they explain why it doesn't happen, but it's a super satisfying answer even then.
Yeah, that's kind of one thing I liked about the episodes. It didn't, like, yeah, it felt like it was setting up for, like, maybe something big to happen. It really didn't. It was pretty straightforward, actually, but it was, like, it was still satisfying, though, because everybody got a chance to talk, you know? Sorry.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, I have a question about that for all of you. Was that the ending to The Graduate that we got, or did I just misinterpret everything?
There's an element of that, I would say.
I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think that they're friends by the end of that whole conversation.
You know, that's the thing. So, yeah, just to talk about it, the very final scene, which is like a 5-7 minute long conversation between Diane and BoJack.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I think I personally really like that ending. They left it very ambiguous to what that means in the long run. And I think what you say with them not being friends, they clearly want to say more, but there's nothing left to say. Because, like, those lingering last looks where they're just like, well, so do I say something now? Do you kind of thing?
It's praying that BoJack doesn't fuck it up within the last few seconds of the show, and they drag it out for 3 minutes to keep you on the edge of your seat. Because whenever him and Diane are alone together, something goes wrong.
Well, I think that's what it's asking. Should you be friends with your enablers?
Well, and I kind of like that they left it open like that. And I also appreciated that Diane talked about how, you know, some people come in and out of, like, this conversation? Well, she mentioned a few times where, like, you know, she talks about change a lot and how, like, people kind of come in and out of your life and...
Oh, yeah, no, it was a continuation of a conversation that happened earlier with...
Yeah, that's like, because yeah. I think she mentioned a couple times at least, but also in this conversation where, you know, people come in your life and then they leave and, you know, but it doesn't, like, take away from the experiences you had of those people. Like, you know, I know so many people in my life that have, like, come and gone, and, you know, you appreciate the time you had with them, or, you know, and then you just keep going. And I'm not really sure if they're gonna be really friends after this, like, but I think that's okay, and I think that's what Diane kind of feels as well. She accepts it that, like, you know, maybe they can't really stay friends, but they can at least be, like,
you know, can leave it on a decent term.
Yeah, she can, like, mutually talk to him and conclude it, basically.
It's a, you need to stop trying to make me feel guilty for not being around you.
Yeah. Which, I like the fact, too, that even though they do address the whole thing about the, like, you know, does BoJack have power over women and he exploits them kind of thing, it wasn't the only thing about his character. It wasn't the only thing that, like, to completely demonize him about. It's like,
well, there are so many problems with him, so.
Thing that he has a problem with. It's not the only thing, and it's not the only thing defining his character about it kind of thing.
But it is among many problems that's addressed, basically.
He kind of learned controlling people through his mom and dad.
Exactly. It's just one piece of the giant machine that is BoJack's problems.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, one cool thing is how the last episode kind of reflects the second to last episode, where, like, the last episode is all the people who are still alive that BoJack is close with, like, a lot of people that have died around him.
Yeah, no, seriously, like, with the fact that the second last episode is literally a giant dinner party and a performance show with all the characters who have died that he has either directly caused or had a big impact on him directly.
Yeah, or indirectly.
Kind of you're just like, it's pretty, especially, grim. So I, you know, again, I haven't seen as many episodes. When they explained what happened to Brandy T. Jackson's character, I'm just like, ooh.
They added another layer to BoJack's character, which was, the dead uncle I can never live up to.
Yeah, I thought that was actually really cool and sad all at the same time.
Ooh, that gave me...
I don't know if I think that Will Arnett's performance in the second to last episode of this season or Free Chiro was his best performance, because he is so good in that second to last episode. And that line, just the way how he delivers it and almost just throws it away...
What's the line?
And the last person he talks to in that episode is Diane, and the last episode, the last person he talks to is Diane.
Yeah. I mean, it's the thing that, like, try to tie it together, because Diane and him were, like, kind of the starting point of the whole show.
Yeah.
But I do love, you know, again, just from me seeing this part, it's amazing how the last major conversation that these two have is an insightful discussion about the virtues of the Family Stone and Pieces of April.
I love the Family Stone.
I hated that movie personally.
When he said that, I was like, yeah, no, I would be really annoyed too.
Yeah, no, but that's the thing I love, where they're just like, whose freaking favorite movie is the Family Stone? It's like, I know, right? But I love how that conversation is so vague, but yet it says so much about them. Like, the whole point about, like, the way I interpret it, just kind of, it's like, yeah, it's BoJack can't seem to escape addiction, whether it's his own addictions or somebody else's addictions kind of thing, but he has to just live with it and deal with it kind of thing.
It's going to be something he has to live with, exactly, ooh. Yeah.
But back to the penultimate episode, I got a quick question for everybody. What was the point where you were filled with the most dread?
When he said his water tasted like chlorine.
That was
like, oh, there's a problem. I think...
It's when Sarah Lynn's the first one that goes through the door.
Yeah.
I think for me it was the secretariat, because he's, like, trying to do that poem, and he's like, I don't want to go, you know, I don't want to go. And then he had no choice. And it was like, I felt sinking in my stomach.
The freakiest part for me was when his mom gets absorbed by the black goo and that kind of stuff. Yeah. He's just like, ugh.
Or how about the eyes on that bird?
Oh my god!
That was so, like, that was like Twin Peaks level. Yeah,
it's just a full-on horror movie.
When Herb introduces Cracker Jack and he says, "And now here comes Cracker Jack, or Colonel Cracker Jack, Beatrice's older and younger brother," like, ugh, that's horrible.
Oh, and also when they reveal how Cracker Jack died and showed the bullet wound in his head, you're just like, oh jeez.
Oh, you know, and they show it so quickly.
No, it's like, oh my gosh, friendly fire.
Fuck.
His dad, Cracker Jack's dad, when they find out he's passed away, is like, oh, honey, don't blame the war. You should blame the Jews for pissing off Hitler so much. Her dad was
I loved that. Ugh. Matthew Broderick was so great.
He was great, yeah.
Oh, man.
Honey, what did I tell you about crying? Crying is stupid.
And just one little funny, like, you know, again, another side character wrap-up. Like I teased before, it's just great anytime Margot Martindale shows up, and her whole thing of helping Todd resolve his family conflict with his mom was just great.
I'm sorry, I'm like, such a great actress.
Yeah. Ooh, I really want to see that movie. I shouldn't send you to jail then.
Yeah, out of nowhere, actual Nicole Holofcener, who plays herself in this, shows up to cast in the movie and saves her. That's just great.
Oh, so great.
How'd you guys feel about Pickle's exit?
I didn't miss her.
Yeah.
I like Pickles a lot, so I was kind of sad.
And we are broken up forever.
Oh, I'm getting a text from her, and we're broken up forever.
I thought she was a cute character, but not like an endearing character to me. I don't know. I was like, I wasn't very upset when she left. I was like, I knew it was going to happen at some point.
Well, before that text joke, Mr. Peanut Butter, I think it's P.K. Thompson. Is that his name? He's a really good
comedian. Paul F. Tompkins.
Yeah. Thank you. He gives this great monologue about essentially saying goodbye to her. Like, he knows that she's not coming back. And that's what love is, letting go.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I completely forgot that Zach Braff actually was in the show beforehand and died of cannibalism.
Yeah.
Fire. He was set on fire, and then they ate him.
Jessica Biel fed him to the fire. They're God now, or something.
Oh, yeah. That's
the
so
only rules
up.
Down here is the rules of the flame. She was
Did
great in this show, too.
Yes, I don't think you have.
Okay, I got to show you that one.
My favorite Jessica Biel joke. She's so funny, poking fun at herself in this. She's like, I just want to go home and watch a movie I'm in. And Mr. Peanut Butter says, great, we can watch The Illusionist or The Prestige, whichever one it was. She says, do you know which one it was? And Mr. Peanut Butter says, do you?
I like when they did all the Halloween parties and she starts talking about how she turned down The Mummy for like Blade Trinity. And she said, I think my career is really starting to take off.
One minor gripe I have about the show is I never got a scene of Andrew Garfield climbing out of that Forever Halloween store.
Okay,
no,
actually,
not Forever Halloween, just Halloween in, what was it, February?
Huge gripe I had, we didn't get to see any more Vincent Adult Man.
Yeah,
I want to see back? Didn't they take his trench coat away?
I went to the business store today. I did a business.
What if he's just an actual adult? What if they pull off that trench coat and he is an actual adult?
Gosh, it'd be traumatizing. Like,
what if, like, well, you had a rank for us? Like, I was in the war.
I will say one last thing, too, just for, like, I guess one lingering point. What do you think was in the letter?
Oh, which just letter? That for her, own, for her own sanity and mental stability that she can't see him no more. And I wouldn't be surprised if one of her fathers or a number of her fathers wrote that letter and she signed off on it. They're very protective of her. Like when she
I didn't
said
even
she quit
think
rugby,
about
two
that.
Of my dads said I shouldn't give it up and five of my dads were relieved. So
yeah, I think that's pretty much what was in the letter too. And I wasn't like upset by that. Like I feel like if I was in her shoes, I would probably feel the same way. I'd be like, you know what? Like I know your family, but yeah. I can't be around you. I like just literally can't for like my own safety, for your safety, all of it, you know?
And she still has PTSD from what happened to her when she was around him, you know?
Yeah, I remember like in those previous seasons, it was kind of rough. And so I don't blame her, honestly. It's like sometimes you have to, you know, let people like that go. Like, I mean, it happens sadly all the time with people who... Yeah. struggle of addictions, their families kind of have no choice sometimes, and that's the sad reality sometimes, but it is what it is.
And he yeah. just wasn't respecting her distance at all, or her yeah. personal space.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
he's a nihilist, you know? Or what's it called
I think
when
you're...
you need people to love you? Did I get that term right?
No, nihilist is believe in nothing, Lebowski.
Yeah, sorry about that. A narcissist, that's what I
yeah,
mean.
Yeah,
narcissist, yeah.
I gotta say, Bradley, you are right on the money with that. I didn't even consider the fact that one of her dads could have written that as well, which that rings really true to me. I'm glad that we actually didn't need to hear or didn't get to hear the letter.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we knew.
How,
you knew.
How he reacts to it, this is what's great about BoJack and the character that this show has given us. How he reacts to it could have been, I hate you, I never want to see you again, or something simple as, I can't see you anymore. I'm sorry, I love you, but I can't see you. His reaction to just not being seen anymore would be the same. Complete and utter world-ending brokenness, and that's really sad.
But it's his last family member.
Yeah, well, I do think she was right to write that letter, and if it was, you know, my daughter, I would help her write a letter like that. Anyways.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So, no, that's all pretty good, and I guess one last joke. That whole stuff with the acting class in the very beginning of the season.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to comment that, on that. Like, I was like, because he didn't see the first few episodes I watched, but I was watching and I'm just like,
what? I saw a couple snippets.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But, like, it just, like, reminded me so much of some of the students Justin got to teach in college. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, this is hilarious.
I don't think we're talking enough about one of the more important scenes where BoJack gets to talk to the devil one last time. The producer of the show.
Oh, you're talking about Angelica Houston?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh my god, I hated her. She was so fucking fantastic, though.
It's like you love to hate her.
Oh yeah, that whole all that stuff about what happened between them and the revelations about what could have been, especially with the character.
You're just like, ugh.
Just we edited you out of the show into 10-minute blocks, perfect for today's ADD culture.
That's exactly why Herb felt betrayed.
Yeah, we made the Cosby show, we took out all the Cosby scenes, and now it's just the show.
It's hit and miss, yeah.